Will the, quote, largest property tax cut in South Dakota history stand the test of time? You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Governor Larry Roden has signed two bills aimed at reducing property taxes. Roden calls the legislation the largest property tax cut in state history, but not everyone is convinced those cuts will help South Dakotans, especially in the long run. For today's Dakota Political Junkies analysis, we have Linda Duba and Jean Hunhoff with us. Linda Duba served in the South Dakota House of Representatives. She's a Democrat from District 15. And Jean Hunhoff served in both the House and State Senate. She is the longest-serving woman in state legislature history. She represented District 18, and she is a Republican. Let's begin here with Jean Hunhoff. We're talking about key takeaways from the 2026 legislative session.
I guess the one thing I took some wholeness into is just what was happening with the dynamics of the legislature. I think in all my years, I've never experienced a sense of a lack of trust, in our local elected officials. A lot of the bills dealt with some of those issues at the local level, but it was, in my sense, can we trust the local county commissioners? Can we trust that local school board? And then even those individuals that were lobbying for South Dakota citizens, there's a lot of negativity that was associated with that, that they're big business, but yet they represent the South Dakotans. And to me, that was a whole different landscape that now the legislature was having to deal with. Not only was it only on issues, but who are you going to believe that are either providing opposition or providing promotion as to why we should do these bills?
Representative Duba, did you notice the same thing?
I did, and it saddened me. Senator Hunhoff and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. The lobbyists that come to inform us, the majority, I mean, I've run into one or two, but the majority of them, their hearts are in the right place. They're giving you the facts and data that you need to make a decision. Now, are they trying to influence you? Absolutely. But they're giving you facts and information. You still have the ability to make choices. And you know, some of the comments that were made, some of the antics that occurred, not showing up for votes, these are not things that make you proud of your legislature. I'm sorry, but our job is to be elected, make hard choices, do the best that we can with the information that we have, and not to disparage others. End of story. I don't know what else to say.
So then was it less effective legislatively, or was that just a distraction?
I think it was less effective. We can refer to crossover day in the Senate, and there were some things that should have been dealt with, but they weren't because of situations that happened. It's unfortunate.
I'm going to just interrupt you, Lynn. I'm going to say one thing. I think another difference was, you know, I think in all the years that we have been there, Linda, this is the first time, in the Senate, it was very significant where you had a member that was absent for the entire session. And yes, when you're sitting on votes, and, you know, ultimately there was a challenge, could the lieutenant governor vote? You know, and that was the first time that had happened. And I think the other thing in the House, you had an individual that was on, you know, serving our country. Yep. So that individual was absent. And, you know, we've never encountered those kind of long absences. And as you future down the road, is that something we need to consider? Is there something that has to come into play? Because in all fairness, both illness and service to country, you know, that's going to take you out of the game. But what about representing your district then? You really don't have that vote. And because, again, in the Senate, that sort of, caused a little bit of controversy. And because the sense was, well, if the lieutenant governor gets the vote, is he voting for the governor? Is he voting, you know, for the Senate or the majority? Or, you know, what's behind that? As a legislator, you know what's behind your vote. You either have constituents or you've got a personal issue here or whatever. But, you know, when you've got this outside party that is supposed to be mainly overseeing the process in the Senate and now is engaged in it, what does that mean, and is that something that needs to be considered in the future?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. And you know, even in the House, with the one member gone, and thank him for his service, he's still over there in a tough situation right now. We're at war. But we should, and I know you and I talked about it, we need to take a look at maybe some potential rules changes or legislative changes that allow for substitutes to come in if it's going to be a long term like that, because of illness, because of service. You know, there are probably other situations where the people of those districts should be represented, and they're not. And there are close votes in the House. Don't kid yourself.
And the Lieutenant Governor didn't always break a tie just because he maybe could. How do you think Lieutenant Governor Van Huysen handled that entire situation? As it was new, and he, you know, brought his research and his background that asked for clarification from the state Supreme Court. And then did he use his authority judiciously?
I don't think there was a vote where he had to break a tie. Yeah. He had the option, but he didn't. But he could have. And then
Linda, there was.
Was there,
there
one?
There was.
Well, okay.
There was. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Was a tie. But I think he was judicious in what he did, because if, you know, there was a reconsideration, he always allowed that. And so I think he gave the opportunity for, you know, that reconsideration, if that at all would change it. But I believe there was one for sure, if not two. I didn't listen every day, but I thought he handled it well, the best that he could. And he tried to be fair to both sides and to, you know, remain impartial, giving them that second chance.
Can I just say one word of advice to people who are considering running?
Yeah, please.
When you go to Pierre, first of all, it's an honor and a privilege of a lifetime to be there. Secondly, we have rules, and we have rules of decorum. And to disrupt committee hearings, to not show up on the floor for votes, these are things that are you shouldn't be considering. They shouldn't even be in the conversation. You know, we had situations where people were given a seating chart, and they, right out of the gate, first day, said, nope, not going to abide by that. I would have never considered any of that. My job was to go and represent my district in the state of South Dakota. So I would encourage individuals, even though you may have strong feelings one way or the other, there are rules in place for reasons, and they benefit the people of South Dakota, and that's what we're there for.
There was so much emphasis put on the property tax because of the summer study and the populace being concerned about that, that, you know, that was sort of one of the big issues. And then I think economic development was another of the big issues. And, you know, certainly there were a lot of attempts to, in the eyes of individuals, to make them transparency in that. But I think the interesting piece is, and I keep thinking about that, people at the local level showing up at these local meetings where some of these decisions are made. You know, you heard from a lot of individuals, school board meetings, especially when they're talking the budget, very few people show up. When you talk to county commissions, you know, unless it's some kind of ag issue usually or economic development, you might get a few people. But it's like they were those proponents on that page were trying to raise awareness, but yet the locals aren't, and now all of a sudden, I don't know how many locals are really into this, because with the property tax, that was certainly, I listened all summer long, and it was the same individuals going around the state, and they were from the both ends of the state. You know, you've got the Black Hills individuals, and you've got the Minnehaha and Lincoln County, and that certainly is the fastest growing, you know, area in the United States. And so those issues sort of monopolized everything else, but at the same time, it was all about money, either generating more dollars or reducing expenses. And that was sort of a theme that was trying to be generated, I thought, during the session.
Yes.
Was it dealt with effectively in the sense that the people who did have concerns about their property taxes, especially in small areas, do you think legislators were able to address that? Was it a win, Linda, for the legislature? You say no. Why?
No. Well, maybe for the legislature, but not for the citizens of South Dakota. So, and, you know, I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this. Let's talk about Senate Bill 245, all right? So what we're essentially doing with that bill is if you're the only people who will benefit from this are owner-occupied, primary residence individuals. There are 250,000 owner-occupied owners in the state of South Dakota. Now, if you went across the state and you surveyed the different counties, you'd find no more than maybe six counties where all the noise was coming from. And I thought Gene did a good job of pointing out, you know, Rapid City, you know, Lee Deadwood, Spearfish, Sturgis, those areas there. And then certainly Harrisburg, Sioux Falls, T, you know, Lincoln, Minnehaha County. Those are where you're seeing property tax increases. I live in one of those counties. But if you look across the state, you did not hear that from the rest of the residents. So what we did is we focused on and we took $56 million out of reserves and put it in for this year to give property tax relief. And then when we sunset, we're taking that estimated because it's based on sales tax revenues, $110 million, and that'll be a full year of property tax relief. Again, only for those individuals who own a home, not for people who, let's say, have commercial property that they rent out, certainly not for renters, none of that. In fact, people who own are going to be an apartment building are going to be assessed at a higher rate rather than that lower rate. So the buy down only happens for no more than half the population. And of that, I would say, how many of those are really getting a big break? And where we could have done something different. And then we bring in Senate Bill 96, where we're going to allow counties to assess up to a half penny sales tax. So there we're increasing the sales tax to buy down potentially the mill levy. Again, I know these were the ones that people agreed to, but we're supposed to do things for all of the citizens, not a smaller portion. Take it away, Gene.
Your take on the property tax decisions, what do you think?
Well, you know, short term it might work, but long term, what my concern is the sales tax, the dependency on that, what's going to come off, or we're going to put back on that sales tax. You know, when we took it off, one of the discussion points, and it was never brought up in anything that I was listening to, was that if you reduce the sales tax, people would keep that and they would go out and spend more because they'd have more money. And I think we saw the realization of that. That didn't happen because our sales tax didn't come to fruition what it was supposed to be. And so if we're betting on the come, that's what we're going to do on the long term, bet on the come that sales tax, you know, looking at today, looking at what's happened across the nation and looking at the finances, you know, there's some unpredictability out there in the sense what this conflict is doing, what the cost of pricing, unemployment is rising again, inflation is going up, you know, all that's going to come into play. I'm just concerned that we're not going to have enough, and then we've expended everything into property tax relief, and we're not going to be able to do anything to support the other sources of state government that we need to support. And the big three, if one of them, we've got to continue in that arena. Plus, you've got other sources in South Dakota. You want to have your public safety. You want to have all that. But we're now taking anything extra that we sometimes have used for one-time funding for doing some projects. And I think that's the other thing is that with this, we're putting everything into property tax reduction. Is that money going to come back to the citizens of South Dakota, and are they going to be spending it so that we can generate revenue so we can keep, you know, it goes full circle. And that's the question that I have, because with the sales tax, that is so unpredictable. We thought we were going to do good and then we didn't. And now we're struggling with it and everything else is going to go up, but we're going to be devoting everything to property tax reduction. So I'm hoping those people are going to go out and spend the money that they're saving.
You know, that's not likely. And the thing is, are they going to save that much? Again, across the board, you know, how much is an individual going to save? We were told, you know, that sales tax reduction was going to be the greatest thing. It averaged out at the most to be about $100 per family, which you don't even notice over a year. Mm-hmm. So unless you were buying a combine, I called it the combine, I didn't vote for it the first time around. And when we put the sunset on it, I reluctantly voted the second time. But I think Senator Hunhoff makes a good point. Very short-sighted in our approach. We keep selling these as the largest tax reductions in the history of the state. Dollar-wise, maybe, but impact-wise, we're not looking longer term.
Yeah. And what about teacher pay? When we talk about the big three, a big factor in that is money for public education. Linda, you have some concerns, and then we'll ask Jean.
Yeah, I've been talking to different districts. We're going to cut positions in schools across the state. We gave essentially 1.4% to education. All right. Well, inflation was what, 2.7%? So we're already operating in a deficit matter. So that's a pay cut. And I urge every legislator between now and the end of the school year to go into a school, spend a day volunteering, and then take some time to talk with teachers, some administrators, but mostly teachers, to understand why this is a morale killer and why so many teachers are considering other vocations. It's a tough place to be. In fact, I had a good friend of mine where I worked with over at Laura B. That is going to be leaving next year. And I said to her, hey, if you want some help this year towards the end of the year, call me. I'll come into your classroom. I'd love to. But we're losing teachers, not just because of what they make, but how difficult it is and all of the things that they're trying to juggle. And now we're continually reducing their pay.
Jean Hunhoff, education is just a key function of state government. How did this legislature do in supporting public schools?
Well, you know, they did get the 1.4%, but Linda already described that really is not enough. I don't think we've done enough. They tried to do something about alternative placement of students for teachers. I believe they did fund Brown County. They're going to have some kind of facility up there for children that are, having behavioral issues. But I think it goes back to, you know, teachers are now expected to be the parents. I mean, the child comes to school, they're in the school all day, whatever baggage they're carrying that they're experiencing in their home environment, they're bringing into school, that's supposed to be impacting the student on how they learn. I think we have to do a lot to relook at what should be everybody's role in educating our students. And part of it is the parents, especially getting engaged and having something else. And they're on the sideline. Other than those that, you know, certainly they want their choice and they can have their choice. They can have their private school. They can have, whatever they want if they don't want the typical public school system, but the state is responsible for the typical public school system. And we need more resources in there because of the changing family dynamics that are going on. You know, I think when I was growing up, you had single parent families, but now you probably have, you know, many single parent families that are juggling a work life and having more than one child and trying to do for all that. And so the school gets the outcome of that. And so we need to look at the kind of resources and, think of the battle that was over the breakfast and the lunches for the state to pay for that. We know that if you send a child to school that's hungry, they're definitely not going to learn. And then those on the other camp say, well, that's not our problem. I mean, that should not be the school district's problem. That's the parents' problem. Well, if the parents are, you know, not making the income that they need so they could feed their children, we're not helping them out. I think that we need to really relook at what we need to have for our teachers, and we need to compensate our teachers because they are dealing with more than teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. And that is sort of what the public is saying, but you've got all these intervening factors in trying to deal with these teachers, playing a social worker, being a teacher, and sometimes probably even being a parent.
Yeah. The good news is that the House and the Senate did pass the school lunch bill for those families who are, you know, paying half. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's sitting on the governor's desk, so it's not done yet.
Right.
And we don't know what's going to happen there.
Are there other areas where you feel like there was a missed opportunity that maybe lawmakers didn't get to a key issue or didn't come to consensus on a key issue? Or are there other areas where you think, hey, that was a big win and that was a surprise or something that maybe was overlooked in the press? Any final thoughts on, like, you know, big wins or missed opportunities? Linda, go
first. Big win. the federal healthcare facilities, both here at Community Falls Community Health and then the Horizon system that serves a lot of rural folks across the state, mm-hmm. were funded. That's a big deal because healthcare, we know. And I just want to point out, we really failed on rehabilitation programming. We didn't even get that bill out of committee. So we have this big debate on the prison, should we or shouldn't we? And everybody says we need to focus on rehabilitation, and then we don't even get the bill out of committee. Big fail.
Jean Hunhoff?
I think I'm going back to education. They did support the JAG program.
Yes.
And then I don't like one-time funding, but they did support domestic violence, and I think that's important, but we've got to look at it. Some other type of source to get that funding ongoing, because that's not going to wait. I think the biggest, what I saw, was economic development. You know, mm-hmm. there's certainly two different viewpoints about economic development in the state. And I guess that's important. That's important for the tax baseline to bring those businesses into South Dakota, to keep our young people in South Dakota so they have opportunities. And the bottom line, you have to offer some kind of incentives. There's no doubt about that. We're competing with 49 other states in trying to get here, and you've got to be in that competitive mode. Now, where do we find a compromise with that? I'm not sure that we did find any compromise in that, or what the direction is for economic development, because that is really key for South Dakota. That is what has carried us, especially with ag. And so here we sit now, lowering down in our ranking as for opportunities to come to South Dakota, still have some diverse divisions out there as to where everything is. I think, you know, I was just reading, you know, certainly there's concern with Smithfield moving out in the area. Is that going to impact that rural community, that Crooks? Certainly that's a consideration out there. But you know what? I grew up on a farm. I had the sewer on one side of me, and I had a cattle feeding operation. And the odor that I smelled every day, that was money for the people, and that was economic development. But I lived in the rural area, and that's what the rural area is all about.
You know, Smithfield is in my district right now, right? Yeah. And has been my entire lifetime. I do want to say I was glad to see that the airports got funding. It's unfortunate that we had to do it. Well, compromise is compromise. We went from a 0% loan to 2%, but we got it done. And as Senator Hunhoff knows, that's been something that's been about a six-year project in the legislature. Mm-hmm. So good news on that front. It will bring in more flights, more business, more tourism. That's what we need to see.
To Senator Hunhoff's point, I spent elementary school in Northwest Iowa, and the bus and the kids who came to school, you knew who the hog farmers were. It's a very familiar smell. I don't know at the time that I thought it was money. I don't know that I thought it smelled like money, but you definitely knew what people were up to in the community. Pre-CAFO, of course, but
a smell
is sometimes, you know.
I'm happy about the Smithfield deal, because we could have lost that entire plant, which would have been a huge blow, not just to Sioux Falls, but the state of South Dakota.
Yeah,
so this is a big deal, and we need to get behind it, and we'll figure out the particulars.
Yeah. All right. Thank you both so much. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Linda Duba served in the South Dakota House of Representatives. Jean Hunhoff served in the South Dakota State House and State Senate. And that is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.